Wrestling Omakase brings you a full-course meal of all of Japanese wrestling, men's and women's. Join me, a Japanese wrestling fan for over 20 years, along with a rotating cast of equally knowledgeable co-hosts, as we cover everything from New Japan and Stardom to NOAH, All Japan, DDT, Tokyo Joshi, Marigold, Sendai Girls, Dragon Gate, Gleet, Ice Ribbon, and even more stuff. If you're a fan of Japanese wrestling and you want coverage of the entire scene in one podcast, check us out right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network each and every week. Get us wherever you get podcasts today.
This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
Welcome aboard. Wait, that was the express. Anyway, welcome to the first episode of the Euroclutch podcast here on the Voices of the Wrestling Podcast Network. My name's Ian Hamilton, and I've been a wrestling fan for way too long. 33 years next month. By God, that's a long time. Anyway, I've been covering wrestling in some form for the best part of 20 years, starting on a website that found out the other week now redirects to Chris Van Vliet's podcast, then a DVD review website. Hey, remember those? Back in the day, used to have Ringside Live podcast of the late Adam Firestorm. For the past decade, been covering European wrestling on BackbodyDrop.com and more recently the Avdi Fresa podcast. And now I'll be talking about the European scene right here on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network. Let's get going, shall we? We start this coming weekend, at least as I'm recording this, Progress's Super Strong Style 16. It's their annual tournament at the Electric Ballroom in Camden. Both Sunday and Monday night, Bank Holiday weekend over here in the UK, will be live on Triller TV Plus. And hey, it's a remarkably low-key way to celebrate a decade of a tournament. First run back, of course, May 2015, Super Strong Style 16 was Progress's take on a tournament weekend, such as Pro Wrestling Guerrilla's Battle of Los Angeles, WXW 16 Karat Gold. Of course, running the Sunday and Monday for Bank Holiday weekend, because the Electric Ballroom these days is busy on a Saturday night, the inaugural tournament had names such as Tommaso Ciampa, Big Daddy Walter, Tommy End, Roderick Strong. That was the year Will Ospreay won out as his ascendancy and progress continued. Things grew 2016-2017, still at the ballroom, with fly-ins like Chris Hero, Sammy Callihan, Matt Cross, Flamita, Matt Riddle, yeah, not mention him, Jeff Cobb, all those being flown in. And then 2018, they moved to the Alexandra Palace in North London. Much bigger venue than the ballroom, a lot grander. And, yeah, if you were a fan back then, you'd know about that bloody hill. But, yeah, 2018 was the year that Zack Sabre Jr. reigned supreme among a field that included the likes of Joey Janela, Chris Hero, albeit under the guise of Cassius Ono, Keith Lee and Helico. And, yeah, by then it was a three-day affair. Of course, ballroom, as I said earlier, limited to 2 days. Alexander Palace available for all 3 days. 2019, back at the Palace, we had a Kaiju Big Battle show there. Hey, remember those guys? That was a year won by David Stowe. Yeah, let's not talk about him. The Flying Soul was a very WWE heavy run. We had the likes of Trevor Lee before he was on TV as Cameron Grimes. Kyle O'Reilly in the middle of his NXT run. DJ Z before he became Joaquin Wilde in NXT. Darby Allin, Artemis Spencer, Aerostar, Daga. Hey, if you want to talk about Europeans, Lucky Kid, Ilya Dragunov, all there. And that was pretty much the downswing of a peak, of course. 2019, Progress had their big Wembley show. Gates were starting to struggle a bit, but Super Strong Style 16, definitely big enough to warrant a different venue. And then 2020, well, we know what happened. Alexander Palace was, of course, scheduled. I think even then they were teasing a WWF Attitude Era tribute show, which God knows what that would have looked like. But, of course, COVID happened. We were all stuck indoors instead. Pretty much no wrestling at all. And with Progress instead doing TV tapings in Peckham instead throughout 2021, it was 2022 before Super Strong Style 16 returned. At that point, Super Strong Style 16 had been for the vacated Progress World title. With some shenanigans going on, Jonathan Gresham had won the belt, been retained by foul means, and a month before Super Strong Style 16, stipulation put up, any interference meant he would be stripped of the belt. Lycos Jim, who had been pally with Jonathan Gresham at the time, interfered on his behalf and then turned on him. So Jonathan Gresham no longer your champion. And heck, Jonathan Gresham didn't even stick around to have a shot at the belt. Didn't get a gimme spot in Super Strong Style 16. Hell, he wasn't even back in progress until the end of the year. Instead, we had for the field in 2022, we had Aramis, now of course Hologram in AEW, Jack Evans, Ricky Shane Page, Johnny Progress, and if you want me to read the long, long list of names from his cage match, do it yourself. You know the guy with a long list of names, Johnny Blackcraft, Johnny Mundo, Johnny Nitro. Bury Your Flyings, of course, a clear step down from 2019. You know, this was a progress that didn't have that clear tie into WWE, nor seemed that much of an in to get big names from AEW either. And of course, 2022, Progress had gone back to the 3-day event at the Electric Ballroom. That Saturday night spot, not really filled with all getting back to normality after COVID. And then 2023, Progress got the big score, or so they thought. The return of Will Ospreay to Progress after he'd spent years in New Japan, Rev Pro exclusive there. Unfortunately, by 2023, things were kind of back to normal. That Saturday night spot wasn't available anymore, so the opening night of Super Strong Style 16, well, opening afternoon, Progress seemed to make the call to put themselves as the Saturday afternoon matinee for a WXW touring show on the opening night of Super Strong Style 16, go figure. But yeah, that first day of Super Strong Style had Will Ospreay beat Tate Mayfair's main event in front of a crowd of 205. Far from a sellout even at the Tufnell Park Dome, and not really a good sign considering how much upheaval Progress had to go through to bring Will Ospreay back, if you believe the stories. Of course, Will Ospreay didn't make it through to the finals. He lost in the quarterfinals to Nathan Cruz. A tournament was won by Kid Lykos that year, and if you're looking for imports, we were down to Nick Wayne and Shikihiro Irie, plus Big Damon Maggot if you want to include the Europeans. And hell, Irie was still in Europe from Big WXW tour, so really, Nick Wayne was your one main flying for that year. 2024, I guess, licking their wounds after the 205 for Will Ospreay, went back to the original two-day event of the ballroom. Luke Jacobs won that year. The field including the likes of Shelton Benjamin. Pretty big get, but maybe not one that really impressed between the bells from the folks who were watching at the time. Igel Blanc, Mike Santana, Mike DeVecchio and Casey Navarro. Still, maybe not the calibre of fly-ins and imports we've been used to, but still pretty decent lineup. Of course, 2025 this weekend, we're back to the two-day with the ballroom, and Progress lately have been slacking in terms of announcing names of this. Like, you know, you go to, you know, I guess 16 karat gold, they at least start having names about 6-7 months out. Progress, you know, very slow in releasing names, pretty much filled up the slate about a month out. And early today, as I record this, we have the draw for the first round of the tournament. And bearing in mind, you know, the two big imports, or the first two names, in fact, were Jack Morris and Masa Kitamiya from Noah. Those kind of were the peak here, and you know, you'll see as we go through these brackets. So we have Man Like Dries against Ethan Allen in your first match, Tate Mayfair against Masa Kitamiya, Marcus Mathers against Will Cruz, Charlie Sterling against Simon Miller, Jack Morris against Leon Slater, Kid Lykos 2 against Uzziah, Michael Oku against Kid Lykos, and Trent Seven against Charles Crowley. That's a bracketed tournament, so basically the winner of match 1 takes a match 2, 3 against 4, and so on and so on. Now, looking at that lineup, it's a hell of a solid home lineup, but as has been the case for the last few years, not really having that big name import. You know, I guess in a couple of years ago, Nick Wayne, the big name, you know, he's on the come up, but before he'd been signed. Shelton Benjamin last year. This year, with all due respect, Noah's not quite the heights that they once were. You know, Jack Morris, he's, you know, done runs in Europe. Heck, he was in ICW before he went to Noah, and wasn't really a big star or big name there, for all due respect. Masa Kitamiya, I would barely say he's a big star, except for the few who are, you know, devout Noah fans over here. And remember, Noah had that tour last summer with Progress and didn't exactly do gangbusters. Aside from that, who else is your big name? Marcus Mathers, WWE ID talent, who, okay, you know, pick the bunch maybe, but as far as shifting tickets to people who, you know, wouldn't be buying tickets to these already? I'm not too sure on that. And I guess this is the problem with 2025 Progress. The homegrown lineup isn't great. They're not really getting the names out there to get the curious eyeballs out there. You know, it's a lot of variations on the same theme. And storyline-wise, you know, all the home guys have got reasons apart from the, oh, I'm here to win the tournament. You know, Ethan Allen, Man Like Dries, they had, you know, bits and pieces before over Luke Jacobs' recent defense against Leon Slater. Of course, Tate Mayfair's won the, was it the Keys to the Kingdom, whatever, the to progress as Money in the Bank, and because I'm a thunder bastard, had a shot and came up short and then tailed off to a side feud of Eddie Dennis before Eddie was sent packing into retirement again. Will Cruz just turned, so he's, you know, maybe primed for a mini push. Same with Charlie Sterling. You know, he bid farewell to Nick Riley as his tag partner last month. He's, you know, in the same boat. Simon Miller lost the Atlas title to Paul Waterhouse, so my mind should be disqualified from this, but hey, can't have everything. Leon Slater, after, you know, what happened at TNA this past weekend, you know, definitely a name on people's lips. More likely to get caught in this match as well, but again, the same kind of issue Rev Pro had in terms of, do you push him, can you keep him long term, at least with reliable dates? We'll get onto that later on. Kid Lykos 2's Azaria. You know, Kid Lykos 2's always been the underling, so to speak, of Kid Lykos. It's in the name. Mike Loku against Kid Lykos. Perhaps the match of the first round. First time matchup, surprisingly. I mean, I looked through Cage Match and yeah, we've had Oku against Lykos 2, but not Oku against Kid Lykos. And maybe that's because their paths have never really crossed, you know, the same divisions at the same time. But that's me, between the bells, you know, match of a round. And then Trent Seven, Charles Crowley rounds it up. Yeah, not my graps, I suppose, would be one way to phrase that. But yeah, that is a lineup. It's a lineup, I guess, but maybe not one which is going to be getting that much in the way of neutral eyeballs, or at least people who wouldn't ordinarily be watching progress to go, hey, let me plunk down my, was it 50 quid, 35 quid to get in the building to sit and watch this. Probably get a few people watching on Triller, but beyond that, who knows. Outside of tournaments, we've got two title matches announced so far. Cowan was challenging Luke Jacobs for Progress Men's World title. That one seemingly on the back of Cowan beating Trent Seven in a, let's be frank, a ridiculous Legends match of a pipes of, you know, stars of the past, what have you. Of course, Cowan lost to Minoru Suzuki over WrestleMania weekend. So not the best of preparations going in if you want to go down that line of thinking, but it's a match. It's one of it's been whipped up out of nowhere. And obviously a lot of people have their eyeballs on, you know, where's Luke Jacobs going? You know, he was one of those litany of names who had that WWE tryout. Luke retained the Progress tag titles this past weekend at their Live in London show. With a rematch, of course, next, well, in June at York Hall. So who knows if this is meant to be the beginning of the end, but one worth keeping an eye on, because Cowan Noir coming back and effectively straight into a title picture certainly raises some eyebrows. Elsewhere, we've got the Progress Women's World title with, let's just say, a milfoil of stipulations. So it's Rio challenging Nina Samuels for Nina's women's title. Of course, Nina beat Rio on a open challenge gimmick in November to rob Rio of having the longest reign as Progress Women's Champion. Of course, Rio, another name from those WWE tryouts, pretty much had a fill with Nina, and she's decided to challenge her under, if I lose, I leave rules. So if Rio doesn't win, she's done in Progress. And for the hell of it, Progress has decided to add a unknown at this point special guest referee. If you're watching over WrestleMania weekend, Vert Vixen was pretty much in a whole feud with Rio over weekend. You know, had that multi-person match at Defy and then part of a three-way at the Progress show. I guess the no-brainer money would be she's the special guest ref, but you'd also think if Rio is going, that special guest referee will be going straight into a feud with, you know, Nina Samuels for the belt. But, you know, this is 2025 Progress. A lot of what they do, maybe not so much these days, but a lot of what they do doesn't seem to make too much sense. But we'll see what comes of that. But, yeah, as I say, as far as Super Strong Style 16, pretty much every, you know, quote, home name in the field has a storyline reason to want to be in the tournament. Even if it's just to be, I want to win Super Strong Style 16, but taking a step back, this is just a weird weekend. Like, you know, as I said at the start, it's 10 years since Super Strong Style 16 began. Yet, this has gone completely under the radar of Progress. Like, you know, 2022, they booked the Garage in Islington for the 10th anniversary of Progress show. That was the whole thing with Ilya Dragunov coming back from NXT UK, taking on Cara Noir, you know, reigniting that loved, maligned, your miles will vary feud as a one-off, and that, you know, lit this fuse between Cara Noir and Spike Trevet in terms of Progress storylines. This year, apart from the, oh, we're back to the ballroom, and you're always back to the ballroom, it's like I say, it's gone very unheralded. I guess you could say, well, we missed 2 years because of COVID. It's not the 10th Super Strong Style, but it's an easy gimme for promotions. You know, you've been around 10 years. This is the 10th anniversary of your tournament. The fact that this hasn't been jumped on at all is perplexing at the very least, and an open goal missed at best. But we'll see how what comes of Super Strong Style 16, as I say, live on Triller TV Plus this Sunday and Monday. Staying in London, we have another big tournament starting up. This was this past weekend, Rev Pro Live in London 95. It's another tournament, this time, say, Rev Pro, for a shot at Mike Loku's undisputed British heavyweight title. Now, rewind a bit back to the start of February, Rev Pro's first Live in London of the year. We had a big laundry list of wrestlers coming out, laying out challenges for Oku's title. Leon Slater, one called Manders, JJ Gale, Ricky Knight Jr., David Francisco had a shot as well, but we want to memory hold that as best we can. And they all call their shots, and from the two big shows this year, one called Manders came up short in Wolverhampton at Epic Encounters, whilst Leon Slater unsuccessful in Doncaster at High Stakes. Of course, those names on the lineup, Ricky Knight Jr. and JJ Gale, they had a match against each other in Wolverhampton, which Ricky Knight Jr. won. That's not turned into a shot for title, and since we had Oak and Ricky Knight Jr. at Global Wars in Doncaster at the end of 2024, it seems that RevPro doesn't want to go straight back to that. So RevPro, this number one contenders title tournament, or however you want to best phrase it. Eight men, quarterfinal, semis and a final. We had two matches at Live in London 95. We had Ricky Knight Jr. Squash David Francisco in 1 minute 25 with a submission, and Zazaya snatched a count-out victory over Jay Joshua, those, again, both at the 229 this past Sunday. RevProOnDemand.com if you want to watch that back. The rest of the bracket, unknown. We do know the two quarterfinals remaining will be on May 11 in Coventry at the HMV Empire. Sheffield, 2 weeks later at the Network, will have the semis and the finals. The winner of that tournament final in Sheffield will get Mike Loku at Revolution Rumble at Your Call on June the 22nd. Also announced on that show is CPF going again for the Young Guns for the tag titles in a no disqualification match that was put together in the fallout of CPF's unsuccessful knock at the belts this past Sunday in London. We do have another tournament for at RevPro in June. This is a shade over a week earlier, Saturday, June 14th, in Stevenage, Gordon Craig Theatre. It's British J Cup time again, and Leo Rush only just used his title shot from winning last year, so I guess the question now is, who's next for Will Caven? Because there's a lot of people, fans, and I guess wrestlers, you know, taking up their shots at Caven. Won the belt at the Copper Box Anniversary Show last August, so I guess the longest reigning champion in RevPro today. And right now, the RevPro Cruiserweight division feels kind of empty. You know, Robbie X, just based on tenure alone, would have to be the favourite. He'd also be the first two-time winner of the British J Cup, having won in 2022. But apart from that, you're kind of relying on imports or maybe outside names. You know, Jordan Breaks, he was the champion a couple of reigns ago, lost to Neon, then completely disappeared from RevPro, came back at the start of April and was announced as a heavyweight. So that's him taken out of the scene. Cameron Kai, I guess, to be a given, but he's had a few shots of a belt and not really been treading water, booking-wise at least. Leon Cage, fresh off his big win over Nino Bryant, you'd expect he'd be one of the big favourites, even though, you know, two wins after a long run have been beaten like a drum. Nino Bryant, again, would be in there, but again, he too has been beaten like a drum. And you'd expect, you know, he'd need something to, I guess, kind of kickstart him if he is going to have any kind of serious run. Hell, if you're putting Nino in there, Xander and Leland, his brothers, you'd expect also maybe in contention to fill spots. But then, do you count Chris Ridgway in that mix? What about the rest of CPF? I know CPF currently booked for Your Call, but, you know, and also they do have the trophies gimmick where they can bypass all this, but, you know, do they plug the gaps in? Ethan Allen? Do you bring in Harry Milligan, even though he too's being used as a comedy act and beaten like a drum? Shane Hook, James Ellis, someone else from a new wave school. And then, you know, do you dig into the CMLL bucket? You know, do you bring somebody in from New Japan, you know, weeks after Best of the Super Junior has finished? It's curious. I mean, we're about 5-6 weeks out, and right now there is nothing for that show announced. You know, we know more for the Big York Hall show. Both those shows have had tickets on sale about the same amount of time. And yeah, to me, it's just a bit weird, you know, two big shows one weekend after the other. One, of course, is always going to pale into the background, but it is just a bit odd that we do have, you know, these two big shows. And you'd expect the winner of the British J Cup cashing in their title shot straight away at Revolution Rumble. And again, that will pretty much round out the card, you know, assuming you're not going to have any more big names come in. So we'll see what comes there. But yeah, RevPro, big tournament time coming up. Progress Super Strong Style 16 this weekend. Big fans of people like filling in brackets, to say the least. Moving on to this quick hit episode, we want to talk about WrestleMania weekend, of course. The dust has long since settled there, but I just wanted to talk a bit about how it's very much different compared to back in the day as far as European representation. Of course, you know, going back to 2017, 2018, we had a ton of promotions going through. I mean, this year it was just Progress. To be fair, since COVID, it's just been Progress. You know, the days of RevPro, WXW having a show there, they're long gone. Fight Club Pro no longer exists. You know, they went through COVID and speaking out. IPW, them of the show with a Dynamite Dozen in the crowd in New York City all those years ago, I guess barely exist. I mean, you know, there could be a bit of a thesis there and, you know, just what the history of our company is these days. You know, company sold off, gets rebranded a billion times, allegedly still exists today as, I believe, Fight Nation, with a show due to be going on in May, rescheduled for March. But yeah, just that whole thing a bit of a mess. And the original owner of IPW did try a comeback show that drew a similar number of people to that fabled New York City show, with much less in the way of roster names and star power as well. Actually, yeah, looking back at that IPW show, it's absolutely wild that in 2018, Michael Oku, you know, I'd say, you know, one of, if not the star of British wrestling today, had two bookings that WrestleMania weekend, both for shows for companies that no longer exist. Bit of a weird miss from RevPro in hindsight, but anyway, flash forward to 2025, not Progress, they're the ones who flew the flag. We did also have Belgium's Bangers Own Wrestling, a strange company with an awful name, but that's my taste. But that was one of those shows that was mostly those in name only. There's a lot of guys who were already in town for WrestleMania weekend, filling in the gap. So you had Joseph Fenech Jr., their champion, of course, on the card. Big F and Joe, Connor Mills, and Rivality from their, I guess, the usual home roster. Rivality being MBM and Ultima Sombra. They were also in the clusterfuck later in the weekend. I guess if you want to count Mao and the Sex Doll, they're the current Bangers Own tag champions. If you want to count them as regulars, knock yourself out. Meanwhile, Progress's card, I would say, is a bit more closer to, I guess, a stacked ballroom card, even though it didn't have the kind of feel. Again, when you're running WrestleMania weekend, it is very easy just to, you know, chuck your own turnbuckle pad on, put your own graphics up and call it a day. And for, to be fair, a lot of Progress's travelling shows lately have been that. You know, it's not been the, you know, the pomp, the grandeur, the power of Progress, when he's power, but the ballyhoo to get the ballroom. It's just been insert Progress image.jpg here, put the music up and have at it. But yeah, that Progress card this month in Vegas, yeah, Minoru Suzuki, Adam Priest, Paul Walter House have been the only debutants. Mind you, of course, those three wouldn't have done the same electric ballroom show. So yeah, it may be a bit of an unfair comparison, but no, certainly a Progress show where you had a lot more stuff that was in canon, in storyline, compared to years gone by. As far as the rest of the European scene, had a quick look through cage matches, and again, I'm recording this April 29th, so if we have anything added after the fact, yeah, you know, cage match can be a bit slow to update stuff after WrestleMania weekend, but a quick poke through, we had 21 different wrestlers from across Europe appearing over WrestleMania weekend, and, you know, going from the likes of Danny Luna, who had your one match for Deadlock, all the way through to Michael Oku, who did half a dozen bookings, and that was on top of, you know, flying back to Doncaster for RevPro on the Sunday. Yeah, Oku may have lost all six in the States, but, you know, Progress, Defy, Deadlock, the WrestleCon Super Show, New Texas Pro Prestige. You know, it's a hell of a shift. Plus, of course, the Ring of Honor taping in Boston before flying over to Vegas. Hell of a shift for someone who, of course, as it stands, still a lot of questions about the long-term future of Michael Oku on the British scene. Remember last summer, the talk he was going to go to AEW? That kind of amounts to nothing. Again, we'll see with Forbidden Door coming up this August. And actually, we may as well segue brief Forbidden Door thing. Of course, I guess the flagship will talk about this and a few other podcasts as we get new over time. Of course they will. But we had the first pre-sales go up for Forbidden Door and the Dynamite Collision taping in Glasgow. I think pre-sales started on Monday. Bit of a weird one, like they're doing, it's at the O2 Arena, of course, the AEW show Forbidden Door. And it was a bunch of different pre-sales. You had the Ticketmaster pre-sale with the generic AEW VIP code, which, yeah, that's a tough one to crack, lads. Never guessed that. Fight TV had, I believe, was AEW fan, although not everyone who subscribes to AEW Plus got the passcode in time. I know I didn't. But yeah, no, I haven't seen WrestleTix log anything yet, but the early going seems to be that tick sales have maybe not been what people expected. And I would suspect, based on the, the traffic on Monday, a lot of unhappiness about the emergence of our old friend dynamic ticket pricing. I got a ticket on that 10 a.m. Monday slot, right up in regards to the nosebleeds. And apparently the same block in the lunchtime pre-sale went for double the price. So, guys, you know, from what I can tell, you know, the pre-sale, the tickets didn't exactly fly off the shelves. So if this is what you're doing for dynamic pricing, when there's no slight interest in the pre-sale, heaven help when the full release goes on this Friday. I know, I believe it's an O2 cell phone carrier pre-sale on Wednesday. That'll be pretty much over and done by the time most of you listen to this. And then, of course, the whole big bum fight starts on the Friday going for the Mass General sale, and we'll see what goes. Certainly, the ticket seat map that went up seemed very only opened half of the O2 Arena for the Forbidden Door show. So the hard campsite completely locked off at this point, and the tickets that went up so far were the old trick of every other row and blocks in 204, just to screw over anybody going by themselves. Not that I'm bitter or anything like that. And actually, just taking a quick look on Ticketmaster as I record this. Again, the AEW Dynamite and Collision Wednesday, the 20th of August at the Hydro in Glasgow. If you're looking right now, again, this is just more of a guideline. Cheapest ticket we seem to be able to get is up in the upper tier, about £30 each. The most expensive seats left at the moment, you're looking at around about £400 for front row or for third row facing the ring. So not quite as cheap as it could have been. I believe for the O2, you're looking at around about £1,500 for ringside. And with, of course, the take-home chair, more power to the collect rolls. But yeah, we'll see what goes on with the general sale from the O2 Arena on Friday, and just how I'll go. Definitely in terms of what seats are opened up and where we stand there. Hey, we spoke about a couple of tournaments earlier on. Why not a third one, rounded up for a nice little hat-trick? Of the German Wrestling Federation, this is a promotion out of Berlin, Germany. A promotion that maybe doesn't get the same interest or eyeballs online as WXW. Of course, 2025 GWF, they run pretty much once a month. Almost exclusively run out of Berlin. They are doing a tour of the likes of Rostock, Hanover and Hamburg in May, in fact. But most of the shows come out of Berlin. They're live on YouTube for free. And yeah, they tend to be pretty okay. I mean, if you look at a booking perspective, you know, it might drive you up a wall in terms of, show to show that maybe isn't that much of a connecting thread. Like, they are very much prone to, hey, he's a new guy, we're going to debut him in a title match and he'll win it out of nowhere, or teams being thrown together and broken up out of nowhere. I think the only thread from the last year or so that's really struck has been the Blutsbruder, like a biker gang faction, which, although that group has kind of fallen off after the passing of Bad Bones John Klinger last May, they still exist, in name only, with more as a link to the past, at least in terms of the top-level booking. Of course, when we're talking about tournaments, GWF have been running the Light Heavyweight World Cup in recent years. This year, they're ditching the Light Heavyweights. Maybe they solve the issues Rev Pro have. This year, it's just the bog-standard GWF World Cup. We have eight names. We have the first-round matches. That'll be coming this Sunday, as we record this, May 4th in Berlin. 5:30 p.m. European time, 4:30 British summer time, 11:30 a.m. Eastern time. If you want to watch this, youtube.com/wearegwf. In terms of your matches, you've got Ahura, who was a 16 karat gold finalist earlier this year, against Aitash Bahar. Erkan Sulchani against Tucker. If you remember NXT UK's early days, he was one of the faces from there. Joe Lando and Robbie X. Lando being announced as representing the US against Robbie X, of course, from England. That'd be a very interesting one in terms of, you know, how well they match. I mean, those two guys would have been part of the light heavyweight World Cup had that been a thing. So that one definitely pops off the page. As does, for rather different reasons, Axel Tischer against Raj Desi, of course, the artist formerly known as Jinder Mahal. And yeah, that one, yeah, good luck, Axeman, at least from, you know, some of the speculation, some of the chatter I've seen. Raj hasn't exactly been pulling up trees on the indies, but, you know, strange things have happened, and, you know, the GWF crowds always tend to be a lot more forgiving and a lot more, I guess, cheery of, you know, familiar faces from WWE of old. And if you're listening to this and can get to Berlin, I believe there's still tickets left for the Festsaal Kreuzberg this coming Sunday. But everyone else, it's up for free on YouTube. It is archived after the fact. So if you want to drop in, that is one that may be worth your time. Of course, will be some non-tournament stuff. GWF aren't exactly known for announcing full cards. I suspect this Sunday there'll be a lot more than just those tournament matches. So one worth keeping an eye out if you just want something on in the background. A few quick line items to wrap up our first episode. A couple of weeks back, Spinebuster Media wrapped up their underground series of shows with the crowning of their first underground champion. So if you haven't been following them, Spinebuster Media, they, I guess, shoot wrestling shows across the UK and, I guess, around Europe. They have done some stuff in WXW and other European countries. They, I guess, have their own promotion. I guess, you know, it's pretty much all empty set stuff. They are starting to do stuff with crowds, but this particular series, the underground series, was called The Grind, and the formula they ran was kind of Chikara's old three-point system. You needed to have 3 wins in a row to qualify for a title match, with a difference. You had 3 different medals rather than 3 points, so you had to win a singles match, a match with time limit, and a multi-man match without losing anything in between. So the multi-man match could be a rumble, it could be a gauntlet, it could be a tag match. Of course, singles and time limit stuff, you know, self-explanatory. But yeah, for me, I watched the bulk of this, and I don't want to say it was hit and miss because I got what they were going for, but by the end, it very much did feel like the grind it was, I guess, advertised as. They didn't really set out much in the way of a structure, like it wasn't a... we're going to be for the next 4 months, which it ended up being in the end, but wasn't it? We're going to be running for X weeks, and how many people have got the 3 points at this point will go into the title match. So it just seemed to be completely open-ended, which I guess is one flaw. The other flaw, which some people, you know, this is an absolute deal-breaker for, is the fact that this was held in an empty set. It was held at the Kamikaze Dojo in Digbeth in Birmingham. No fans, you had no referee, you had camera crew, you had commentary on site, but no fans, no noise. So this was like the very early days of COVID era wrestling where you had as few bodies as possible on site, which I get, but at the same point, it meant that at times this came across as extremely sterile, where you had, you know, people wrestling, you know, a lot of names with not that much in the way of experience. So if you're in watching for names, there's a lot of stuff you were kind of slogging through to maybe get the good stuff if you're that way inclined. At the same point, you know, a lot of names without experience. There were points where, you know, you maybe got the impression names on there to perhaps make up numbers. Matches which in any other circumstance maybe wouldn't have been even leased for public consumption. But it was what it was. The finals came out to be Joseph Connors, Jay Joshua and Millie McKenzie. They won sufficient medals to qualify for the end-of-season title shot. Joseph Connors won, pinning Jay Joshua to win the belt. It means Joshua and McKenzie go back to square one. Spinebuster have announced a show in about 2 weeks, May 15th, in Margate in Kent. They are selling tickets for this. Although looking on Google Maps, it is a bit of a trek for people who want to get there. But they are doing tickets for this with in-ring photo opportunities with Medusa Complex, Charlie Evans and Millie McKenzie. they've kind of been the headline act for this particular show. Announced so far for this, we've got Danny Luna against the Duchess, who went winless throughout the whole Underground / the Grind format. We've got Brett Semtex against Jay Joshua, looking to get back on the board. And the big main event, we have Medusa Complex against Rising Tide. That is the team of Shane Hook and Leon Cage, who's been getting a few eyeballs by way of being on the Retro High Stakes show a couple of weeks ago. So I think this won't be streaming live, but it will end up on Spinebuster's YouTube channel, I guess, in the weeks, months ahead. So keep an eye out on that if you are so inclined. Also coming up, we've got Pro Wrestling Eve this coming Friday, May the 2nd, at the Big Penny Social in Walthamstow. It's their 15th anniversary show, and yeah, we've got a couple of matches announced for this. It's Nightshade challenging Nina Samuels for the Eve title. I know in all the promo stuff, they've made a big deal of Nightshade being at the first Eve show 15 years ago. Nina did have the Eve title. She's defended successfully against Izzy, the Bayley Superfan, over Mania weekend, and we said Ed and San Antonio poured her Mania show. So again, she's been very active with a lot of belts, but certainly she's had a few very near misses in Eve with title defense. So maybe this is the time, you know, one of those belts goes bye bye. Elsewhere in the card, we've got Alex Windsor against Martina, Medusa Complex back again, Charlie Evans, Millie McKenzie taking on Rio and Emerson Jane. And whatever the riot of violence match is, it's an 8-woman tag. Anita Vaughn, Sapphire Reed, Lucy Sky, and Harley Hudson taking on Sky Smitson, Rain Leverkusen, Aluna, and Lucia Lee. That show will be streaming live on Eve's YouTube paywall, 8 o'clock UK time, 3 o'clock Eastern this coming Friday. So mark 15 years of Eve. You'll need to sign up there on demand through YouTube. Another upcoming show, we've got Ichiban. I guess that's the promotion which ran Michael Satomura's final match in the UK, because Michael retired early today as I'm recording this. They ran their second show a few weeks back, and their third show's coming up at the Prism in Kingston, southwest London, on May 11th. Announced so far, haven't given any kind of wacky, Ichiban 3, we're back again, or anything like that. It's just Ichiban 3. We've got Danny Luna and Emerson Jane against Medusa Complex. Leon Cage against Trent Seven, a best of three falls match. They've been doing something with Leon Cage having cracks at Trent Seven and coming up short. They're billing this as Leon's final chance. As much as I've not been a fan of Rev Pro beating him like a drum before his big win, I absolutely prefer that to this, but I'm just not a big Trent Seven guy. Rio against Rain Leverkusen, Jordan Briggs against Wild Boar, and Amari against Tate Mayfair's in... Yeah, it's definitely a bit of a step down from the first Ichiban show, but again, if you're starting off with Michael Satomura's last UK show, I think anything's going to be a step down from that regard. I believe Vol's eventually dropping some form on Ichiban's YouTube channel, maybe a couple worth looking at. Certainly it's on my big backlog. In terms of recent results, we have James Ellis defending the New Wave title against Luke Jacobs at this past Friday's New Wave wrestling season in Cardiff. That'll be popping up on their Defend On Demand subscription in a couple of weeks' time. For those who followed the British scene before the pandemic, New Wave used to be known as Dragon Pro in Wales, and they've been churning out a lot of pretty good names in the last few years. You know, it's been like a virtual production line of names coming out, you know, with your Leon Cages, your Shane Hooks, you've had Alex Vaughn's, Josh Holly, okay, he's around before New Wave, but James Ellis, a name who I've had an eye on for a long while. You know, just a vertical production line of names coming out through New Wave School from Brendan White and Cole there. We've got another school, I guess, in the Midlands under Flash Morgan Webster. And I believe we're just about to open a new one in Toronto, of all places, which is, one of these things ain't like the others, but... Yeah, definitely New Wave Wrestling, one to keep an eye on if you want to see the next generation of stars, because by God, they are churning them out. Speaking of Brendan White, he beat Danny Jones to win the Undisputed King of Chaos title at Pro Wrestling Chaos this past Saturday in Bristol. It was a show that also had Nick Riley have his retirement match against Charlie Sterling. That whole show went up yesterday for free on Pro Wrestling Chaos' YouTube channel. Got the link through a tiny URL in the description as well, so one I'll have a look at and get back to you in our next episode. Elsewhere, we had the return of Wrestle Carnival. They've come back from their latest hiatus. The first of their Triple Crown series of shows. Basically, they're doing a series of tournaments with the winner of all getting into a mini tournament of their own. Kind of like Style Battle back in the days. This first one, we've dubbed the Foley Tournament, dedicated to the late Carnival staffer Adam Foley, was won by Man Like Dries. Wrestle Carnival back in Coventry on August 17th and then October 12th. And guess that'll do it. Bit of a short show to get us underway here on the Euroclutch podcast. Again, we're not going to be making this like a big old review show where we go in depth on every single show. There's way too much. What I'm hoping to do here is cover the top stories, a few bits you won't necessarily have seen on the usual sites, and maybe cast an eye over some of the small promotions who maybe aren't getting the eyeballs they normally would. But like I say, thanks so much for listening. If you want to follow me, I'm over on Twitter at Ian Wrestling, or help to search for Ian Wrestling on all the social media platforms. If you want to follow the podcast, we have got a Twitter account at EuroClutchPod. That'll be built out in the coming weeks. If you want to hear me elsewhere, I have the Alfred Fresser podcast. That's available over on backbodydrop.com with Mike Kilby. And yeah, we'll be back, I guess, in a few weeks to talk about hell, the tournaments we've just spent a little bit talking about, and a whole lot more. Thanks so much for listening, folks, and we'll see you down the line.
Hello, do you like New Japan Pro Wrestling? Are you a Shin Nihon freak? If so, check out the Super J-Cast with Joel and Damon on the Voices of Wrestling Podcast Network.
And even if you fucking hate New Japan Pro Wrestling, listen to the Super J-Cast anyway. Not just for our great show reviews, analysis, and pastrami sandwiches, but there's also usually some dick jokes somewhere in the obligatory opening 30 minutes of absolute nonsense we chat about every single week. That's the Super J-Cast for all the best talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling, crisps, and pornography.